Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Midday Show, Sports Radio 94WIP, live today at Chickies and Pete's Birds at the Bay. Go where the players go. Watch all the hockey and basketball action this season for the best in-game experience at the number one sports bar in North America, Chickies and Pete's. We're here all day leading into some guest bartending tonight. And speaking of guests, we got a big one right now, Hugh Douglas, one that joins us today and on Wednesdays moving forward, the lunch hour with Jason Avant.
Oh, that's
sponsored.
That's the name?
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, did we get, look at us with a fancy name.
We got a fancy name.
The lunch hour.
Sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Doodat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, welcome back to the show, and welcome to the show a little bit more moving forward. We're excited to have you, Jason.
I'm so excited to be here. WIP's always given me, you know, so many opportunities. So thank you to Rod and Mike and Dud Hat, everyone that's responsible for me being here. I had a good time with Rob last year on a post-game show. So I'm just happy to be back, and great to see you gentlemen, too.
Well, it's exciting to have you. We got a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot to talk about with a football team, Jason, that is 6-2. So the last time we spoke to you was our rally, right before the season started, day before the Eagles played the Cowboys week one.
Yeah.
So let me throw it at you. The way we started the show today is just talking about the team and kind of where you were then versus where you are now. Now that we have 8 games of data plus the trade deadline, do you feel better about their chances of repeating as Super Bowl champions? Not as good? Worse? Like, where are you compared to where you were when the season began, now that we got the 8 games in the books?
Well, you always start off high because of the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
So you start off high, you're thinking the team's just going to replicate what they did last year, and you start to realize that the NFL adjusts too. They get paid too. The defensive coordinators get paid, and they were able to solve what the Eagles were doing offensively. So then now you're down into the doldrums, like, dude, this doesn't look like anything last year. And then the last 2 games in the trade deadline, you're starting to kick back up. And I feel that's the emotions of most people in the city of Philadelphia. Now that we've seen it, my expectations are rising because the team is getting better. You're seeing position groups get better. You're starting to see an avenue to a championship now.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Jason, when you look at this team and we talk about the hierarchy, not in the NFL, but the NFC.
Okay.
Where do you see the Eagles right now? I know they're defending Super Bowl champions, and you know you got to give them props for that. But as this season plays out and we're at the halfway mark, where do you see them at in the hierarchy of the NFC team?
Well, they're right at the top. I think them and the Lions are there. The Packers are still I just watched the Packers film, you know, extensively the last 3 games for the Packers, and they have some glaring weaknesses. And so I think the Eagles are there, and they're rising. And so, and then you take the championship pedigree. Team, just think about, like, championship pedigree is such a under value, like, statistic. When it's winning time, when you have that ability to draw on those past experiences, you'll shine in those moments. And a lot of times, teams that hadn't been there will do something to lose the game, sort of like the Jays and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers won that series because of championship pedigree, nothing more. The Jays, you know, figured out a way to lose the game, and that's what will happen.
Well, I mean, we see that so much in the – I mean, think about the last, 25 years of the NFL. I mean, the Chiefs and Patriots have been those 2 teams, right? Now the Eagles hope to become one of those teams with that championship pedigree. It's there. And, you know, in the NFC, it's interesting, Jason, because there's a couple teams that have gotten close, right? Like the Lions have been in the mix the last couple of years along with the Eagles. The Rams have been in the mix, and they won one with some of that group with the coach and the quarterback and some of those guys. Jason, I'm curious your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks because they feel like the new kid on the block here in the NFC with this group. Are you taking them seriously? Because you look at what you watch some of their games and you see how they're winning and the margin they're winning by, and you look at some of the numbers, and it all says they are legit, but it is a young team. It's a new team. Sam Darnold in particular, their quarterback, has only played the playoffs once. It did not work out well for him last year. What do you think of that team in the mix in the NFC?
I think they're legit. The reason I think they're legit is that Sam is playing at a high level. They protect them pretty good, and their receivers get max separation. Horton, JSN, Cooper Kupp, those guys get max separation. So it makes it a lot easier for the quarterback. And then they're adding Shaheed there, you know, soon. So I think that that team is legit because of the style of football they play, and I think defensively they're doing okay as well.
Are you a little concerned with the fact that Sam Darnold, historically, I know it's happened a few times, he just doesn't show up in the playoffs? Is that somewhat of a concern for you?
Well, if you don't protect him, like, and I think that's every quarterback. Any quarterback that doesn't get production or protection is going to struggle a little bit, especially when you don't have the bat belt of athleticism.
Right.
Right? So if you don't have that ability to escape, you know, when there's, you know, you're down on your luck when it comes to offensive line protection, you're going to struggle when you don't have any other way out. So I think that's just any quarterback that's in that situation. But I think that they're going to protect for him. As long as you don't turn the ball over in that situation, when you're not getting protection, you'll be fine.
215-592-9494. We're live today. Chickies at Pete's, South Philly for Birds the Bye. You can hop on and be part of the show. Talk to Jason, who's hanging out with us this hour. All right, Jason, let's talk about the team and how they've evolved, because it's, you know, sometimes it's a just play better, right? Just play, perform better, be more efficient. And sometimes it's a matter of, hey, more run, less run, more pass. This year, the change that feels so clear is how they're running the offense, what it looks like formationally. They've gone, Jason, from a shotgun team, I mean, for years and years, to, I'm not going to say primarily, but a lot of under center the last couple weeks, and it has worked out really well. So first, let's start with that, and do you think it's going to continue? Is that their identity now? Because it is a major shift. I mean, the Jalen Hurts quarterbacked Eagles have been a shotgun team, and it's been a very good team and a good offense for 5 years. And then in a span of a couple weeks, they've gone the other way at a pretty drastic rate. Your thoughts on how it looks, and do you think they keep going that direction?
Well, the Eagles have finally adjusted, and it's a tough thing to adjust for the Eagles. Let me tell you why. When you win a Super Bowl with one way of doing things, you want to keep doing that for as long as you can.
Yep.
And NFL said, no, you can't handle, you're not going to be able to win a game like this anymore. And the Eagles were stubborn. They kept running their head against the wall and not being able to adapt or adjust. And now they're going under center more, and now they're helping their players out. When you have a guy that's in a position like a Brett Toth, or you have a guy like Tyler Steen, when you're having one-on-ones with them, like it's, you know, Mekhi Becton or Landon Dickerson, you're not putting them into an advantageous situation. But now these last few ball games, they begin a duo block that's multiple double teams, and now they're working up to the linebackers rather than getting guys one-on-one. You're asking, you know, Tyler, you know, not Tyler Steen, but Brett Toth at center position to go out and get a two-eye. That's an inside shade of the guard. You ask him to go out there and reach block that. That's very hard for them. Cam Jurgens can do it, but now they're double teaming up and putting them in advantageous situations to win. So I think the Eagles are doing a great job of adjusting now, but they were headstrong. That was the reason the Eagles were struggling, because they were headstrong, looking in the mirror, wanting to be a bully again, but realizing that we're not the same team talent-wise that we were last year.
Yeah, and the thing that stood out to me, Hugh, the last 2 weeks, the Vikings game and then this past game against the Giants, is not that, you know, it worked, right? It was better, it was more efficient. Guys were wide open. I mean, that's the one difference that we are seeing the last few weeks, is they're getting,
would you, like Jason said, separation.
Yes, and I think we have some great players that can get open on their own, but when you throw in the, because that's what makes, when I watch the Rams and Niners, they have good players, but they're open. Like the formation, the play, the design gets Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, and whoever the Niners have at any given point open. I mean, I've seen Devontae Smith more open the last 2 weeks, Jason, than I've seen him in a while. Not like it feels to me like coming across the line of scrimmage, it's confusing the defense and getting it's giving Jalen Hurts some open windows to throw.
Well, Devontae Smith in and of itself will always be open, right, especially if it's man-to-man. But I thought the Eagles did something in the Vikings game. Even though they weren't successful running the ball, 8 out of the first 11 plays were runs. And what that does is that forces the defense to come up. And now what happened was is that Brian Flores would bring guys up into the line of scrimmage. Now you have one-on-ones, yep, outside. But you have to stay committed to the run game in that manner, even if it doesn't work, so you can have those opportunities down the field. And the Giants game, it's just they couldn't handle the rush at all. So, therefore, they were committing everyone toward the line of scrimmage. And Devontae is going to kill you in those situations.
Right.
But one-on-one, he's always open. Now, zone concepts. Kevin Pasullo has not done the best job of zone concepts and calling winners. It's usually one answer that's right in the whole equation, and Jalen has to find that guy rather than multiple being open at once.
So now that we move this thing forward, right, that they look like they've evolved here a little bit and it's changed. The passing game's been way better, I would say, for the past 3 or 4 weeks. It's been better. Do we believe the running game is fixed now? Because that to me, still, that is and was the best part of their team. And if they rev that up, then they could be unbeatable, or they could be clearly the best team in the NFC. But, Hugh, we've only gotten one game of that, right? Like, of the whole year, we've gotten one game where the run game looked dominant. Are you ready to say it's back?
Go ahead.
I think matchups matter. And I think
we're not going to play the Giants anymore. We're going to play some real teams.
No, I was about to say that. Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Green Bay is pretty decent against the run.
They have been, yeah. Now, last week they got beat up by Rico Dowdle and the Panthers.
Yeah, but I think –
Go ahead.
No, you got it, Jason.
No. So with that, so what Rico Dowdle and the Panthers, Dowdle was able to do in the Panthers game was that they would go off tackle a bunch to start that game. So they were able to get a bunch of toss cracks, and it caused
them to crack that in and get that outside.
So they ran that play four times. They ran that play four times.
Memories for Hugh Douglas there.
I know, yeah. that crack toss, like,
yeah.
Man.
So, and here's the thing. Guess who started to utilize that the last few ball games? The Eagles are starting to do it more.
And it's
about variety. It's about being able to do things that are different, not just inside zone. Can we gap scheme up to it? Can we, get a jet sweep out of it? We saw that from the Eagles this past week.
They're kind
of
light on the – and the Green Bay is kind of light on the edges.
On edges, right? And that's what the Panthers are able to do, is get outside of them. So that's one of my keys to the game, is to be able to get outside early so we can get some inside runs later.
Jason. He makes me, like, you know, when you talk to somebody who knows the game inside and out, he made me think about a lot of different things. But matchups do matter.
Yeah.
And if they find a way to emulate that play, because this is a copycat league, they might have a chance. But like you said, it's the Giants playing against the Giants.
Yeah. Okay, it looks better, but, like, it's hard for me to sign off yet and another thing, back running the ball.
And another thing, like, when it comes to that crack toss, that outside linebacker got to help that defensive end out, too. He got to be like, dog, look crack. You got to play the crack. So it's going to be – this is one of the better running teams they're going to face. And to Jason's point, you have to stay committed to the run. And a lot of times this year, we haven't stayed committed enough to it to sell it. So hopefully that's the case. Sometimes you got to bang your head against the wall a lot, man, in order to get the run game going. Like, you really have to stay committed.
Well, and especially if you have a Saquon Barkley, Jason, because he's this close to break. I mean, he can break one at any time, right? We've seen that for 2 years now. We just saw in the Giants game. So I hope they're back running the football. Look, I don't need 260 yards every game. That was an outlier. But if they can go back to being one of the better rushing teams, they're really going to take off here.
I've been calling for this all year as far as variety. The Eagles are just so headstrong in the way that they were able to do things. In these past few ball games, you're starting to see variety from the run game. You got to realize that other people can do different things. And, yes, I need some on the edge from a jet sweep or reverse to keep the defensive ends honest and not crashing down. I need some double team blocks. I need some gap scheme. I need some variation, and that's what the Eagles have done. So I think the running game is on the right trajectory.
Jason Avant with us, going to hang out the lunch hour with Jason Avant, going to be on the show Wednesday. Days moving forward. Excited to have him today as we're live at Chickies Apiece for Birds at the Bye here. Special day, including some guest bartending later on in the show. Lane Johnson's going to be here. It's awesome. 94WIP.com for details. Come on by Chickies all day. Afternoon show later on, and then Elliot's going to be doing his show from 6 to 8. So when it comes to, you said headstrong was the word you used for the way they ran the offense. What do you think that was? Do you think, is that a coaching thing? You know, there's been stuff out there over the years that maybe Jalen is most comfortable in the shotgun, right? And now they're pivoting. Why do you think it took them so long to do something that I think a lot of us were like, hey, change this up? Like, why do you think it took the Eagles 6 weeks to realize something that people have been saying for years, maybe more under center stuff?
Well, just when you got an offensive coordinator off a team that just won a Super Bowl.
So it's about success was so good. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Just don't F it up.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's the mentality. Yeah, yeah. The mentality is like, dude, we don't need you to be a world beater. We don't need you to go out there and be Sean Payton. You don't have that experience, so just don't F it up. Call the same plays.
They worked, right.
And they work. And so you have to figure out a way to bring Kevin Petullo's personality out and not just live on yesterday's success. And, yes, Jalen Hurts probably has some reluctance in getting under center because it's not something that he's so familiar with. Alabama and or Oklahoma, where he was super successful, you don't get under center much. So he probably likes being in the shotgun more. But you start to see the trends in the NFL and how it's harder for defenses to catch up under center, so you do it. But I think that you had to have some failure in order to say, okay, it's not okay for us to do this anymore.
This segment brought to you by Meineke. It's football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, Jason, let's talk through the acquisitions the Eagles have made. Really, it's four, if you include Brandon Graham coming back here. It's four players coming back or adding to this team over the past couple weeks. Let's roll through each of them and your thoughts on how they're going to fit in. Let's start with BG. I mean, we were all excited. You know, everyone loves BG. And I thought last year, even though it was his last year, he still provided something. I still thought he gave a boost when he was out there and he gave them snaps last year. What's your expectation for him considering he has not played, didn't have a training camp, trying to rev this thing back up? Is it fair to expect a similar version of what he was last year, or is even that a lot to expect?
Well, so BG, let's take the injuries out. BG last year at, 36 years old, or however he is now.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, about 36 years old last year, right? So BG was our best defensive end, our best outside linebacker, by far, not even close when it comes to stopping the run, and it also come to big-time plays and making sacks and making plays in the backfield. He was that. And so with that being said, I think if he's healthy at all, even with Jalen Phillips on the team, he probably still is our best defensive end.
Mm. Like, saying something about him. And the group.
No, just I'm saying if he's healthy.
Yeah, right.
If he's healthy and it'll take him a few weeks to get in shape. But if he can just mimic anything of last year, he'll be our best defensive end.
Now,
it comes to stopping the run, tackles for loss, and rushing the passer.
Let me ask this because Hugh was on this point. Do you worry with his age, the injuries of overusing? Like, what's the – he can be the best, but doesn't mean you use him for 50% of the snaps. Like, what's the right way to use him? Because I agree with you, the way you assessed his game last year, but I can't ignore that his body might be breaking down, right? And he didn't have a training camp. So is this, hey, give us 15 snaps and you're going to be great 15 snaps?
Hugh can tell you this. That's the thing when you get older. When you get older, it isn't that you can't do it anymore. Your body can't do it anymore, right?
Yeah, your spirit is
your spirit
willing.
Is there. The mind is there. And then you have days where you ball.
Right.
And then the next day you can't get out of bed. And it's the nature of the beast.
Hugh's like that on the radio.
Yeah. No, it's like that. I'm telling you, man, it's that bounce back. Because I could probably run around like I could probably run around chicken and peas today, right now, but come tomorrow,
no, man, not happy.
Do it.
You're the fill-in co-host tomorrow. Yeah, you'll be out of commission.
Be hurt.
So I don't know if a snap count is the answer. What I would say is that you go out. Well, maybe to start, snap count's the answer to start. But as the games go on, you want to just use him in critical situations. Like there's closers, just like in baseball or me in position. I didn't get on the field until third down or fourth down.
Specialist,
so they're specialists,
right?
So you have to use Brandon Graham in those specialty situations where you need stops, you need a big play. That's when he comes in. Maybe to finish a ball game, you may need him as a closer. Like the sixth man, Manu Ginobili, he never starts a game, but he'll be in there when you finish. And I think that's who Brandon Graham should be.
And you could trust them. You want to be able to trust those players in those spots. All right, how about the two corners? Because they were the first acquisitions. We'll get to Jalen Phillips in a second. Both interesting from different perspectives. So, so Michael Carter has been primarily a slot corner in the NFL, but we have Cooper DeJean, so you wonder how they're going to use him. And then Jair Alexander, who at one point was a star, Jason, and it's really just fallen very quickly for him. He's not old. He's 28. You would think there's still something left in his body. John Ritchie's very excited about him because thinks there's something still there. Your thought on the two corners they brought in and how they might be used?
Well, I think this is just optimal use for Vic Fangio. Like, this is one of those situations where you give the secondary variety. You don't have to worry about Kelee Ringo. You don't have to worry about Adoree Jackson being hurt every 2 seconds,
right?
So you have these guys where you have Michael Carter. If you want to put Cooper DeJean on the outside, you can do that. And Michael Carter is physical, and he likes to tackle. He did get his spot taken, and he did have some problems in coverage this past year. So you can't say that he's like a world beater.
Right.
But given the defense coordinator Vic Fangio is, I know that he can bring out his optimal use. Now, Jair Alexander is one of those guys that we saw play really well, but, you know, hadn't got one stop this entire year when it comes to just pass targets, right? Every pass that's been thrown on him has been caught.
It's not what you want to hear.
That's not something that you want to hear. You just hope that it's one of those situations where him and the defensive coordinator, him and the secondary coach did get along. And when you get long in the tooth as a player, you get more disagreeable. That's how it is. The stuff that I used to do when I was a rookie, yes, coach, yeah. When I got 30 years old, I wanted to debate and I wanted to have a conversation about this. It was a little back and forth, yeah. Right? And then some coaches are not going to like that. So hopefully it's one of those situations where there was just a disgruntled player not getting along with the organization, but we won't know until he gets in here. We know that he can play. Will he be better than Adoree Jackson? Yeah. Will he be better than Kelee Ringo? Yeah. So I think all of it is positive going forward.
Now the big one, at least the one I consider the big one, is Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins. A couple years ago, Jason, looked like he was on the path to stardom. I mean, he had 6.5 sacks in November. He tears his Achilles. That was Vic Fangio's year in Miami. And then he's never quite been the same. He had a knee injury. Now he's come on the last few weeks and about a month here playing really good football, so maybe his body's back. But he's a guy who was a first-round pick. He's got all the talent in the world, and he's playing for a contract. Feels to me like he's got a chance to be a big part right away when he gets in there.
Yeah, he should know this defense,
yep.
You know, like the back of his hand. And so I would like to see him do better in one. He gets a lot of one-on-ones for the production that he has, right? So usually when you're a dominant pass rusher, you're going to get some chips. You're going to get some of that. From watching tapes, everyone feels like they can block him one-on-one. And then when it comes to guard pulls, we've seen Nolan Smith lacing people out.
Oh, the Super Bowl. That guy's still shaking.
Yeah, no. And you know, what was it? Was it Elgin Jenkins? We've seen Nolan Smith lacing guys out in those situations. You pull to Jalen Phillips, it's a little bit of pillow fight there.
Okay.
Like, you know, so there are some times
it's not good to be a defensive end.
No, wait.
No, I know what you're saying.
It's only with guards pulling. It's like he kind of tempers down. Full speed into
it. You got to knock them guards out.
Back, but he does dominate tight ends. He does dominate fullbacks, and he has a great one-arm stab. Like, that's his go-to move. He has a great one-arm stab. So I think there's some high upside to him. I hope Vic Fangio can get him out, you know, get it out of him.
It reminds me of Hassan Reddick a little bit, the way you talked. Like, the way Hassan played, the way you talked. But look,
he's not as athletic as
right.
Hassan. Let's get some, because Hassan can bend way better than Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips is a big dude, doesn't bend like that.
He's 6'5", 260.
Yeah,
he's huge.
So he can't bend like Hassan.
Yeah, he's going to. And if Nolan Smith gets back healthy and Jalen Phillips, they're going to have more ability to get to the quarterback than they have in a while here. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is Birds at the Bye, benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Brought to you by Bud Light at Chickies and Pete's. We'll be live all day at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia location, 6 to 8 p.m. here with our live broadcast. Our Jason Devon hanging out for the lunch hour. He will hang out with us on the other side. We got a lot to get into. Looking forward to the games after the bye, the Packer game, Lion game, the NFC, the division. And we got to get a little conversation with Jason about the A.J. Brown situation. He's here. He's here to stay for the rest of the season.
Way to get me in trouble, Joe.
Yeah, well, we need to. We ease you into it. Let's talk about A.J. and where this goes from the rest of the season. It is the Midday Show live at Chickies on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. They're putting you in control right from NBA tip-off, because every day to start the season, you get to choose your reward. Take your shot with a profit boost, play it cool with a no-sweat bet, or get a little backup with a bet back token. Again, I would love to have my bet back last night because I had the Sixers, and that went bad really fast in that fourth quarter. So make your pick, get in the game, and play it your way. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLI or make your choice. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show.
Mike Jones.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Birds at the Bye benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation, brought to you by Bud Light and Chickies and Pete's. Live all day here. Hugh, you ready to bartend tonight?
Am I ready? Well, no, I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Well, man, you got to get ready. You got to wake yourself up.
My mind right.
Pouring some drinks tonight. Come on out.
It's drinks.
It is a great day. And the proceeds and the benefits tonight all go to the Travis Manion Foundation. We love doing this every year. It's a great way for us to get together, hang
mingle.
Out at Dubai, mingle, and
we get to mingle.
Talk as we get ready for the second half of
I'm
the season.
I'm not really a mingler, though. Well, I had to learn how to become more of
a mingler. Yeah, you're mingling here. Well, the setup here is kind of mingle-ish, right? Because
nice.
People can walk around and see us.
Yeah, they see us.
Yeah, and we talk, and we got a new
kinda
setup
like
here.
Like a little fishbowl.
Jason, what do you think about this setup, by the way? Jason Avant with us for the lunch hours. He will be on Wednesdays moving forward. You like these comfy chairs we got?
I do. I like it. It's podcast feel. I love this. You don't like this?
I'm a little gets a little sleepy, man.
You're leaning back.
You're sleepy all the time.
I mean,
it reminds me of the old daytime TV talk shows. Merv Griffin and Phil Donahue.
A little sleepy, dog.
We may need a little bit more light.
I'm dark, and I like to wear dark colors. So you can't see me. All you see is teeth and hair and beard.
If we have any more light, I'm going to be too bright for everyone watching.
When I would come outside and all black growing up, they'd be like, Jason, you coming out naked. You got to go.
Man, you about the same color.
They would say, man, come on out here. There's kids out here. You can't be coming outside naked.
Hey, man, I'm self-conscious. And then they got me behind that black drop every day. We got to turn. And Joe looked like a ghost.
Yeah, I'm too bright
and
over
all you
here.
See, when I'm sitting there, all you see is teeth. And hair.
We're trying to find that the middle ground.
We try to find a happy one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a good transition because the Eagles are trying to find the middle ground with A.J. Brown. All right, let's talk through it where we are right now. And so here's what we know, right? Trade deadline has passed. All those rumors are gone. We wait till the offseason for that. A.J. Brown is a Philadelphia Eagle. In fact, Kyle, if you have it, let's play Howie yesterday when talking about A.J. Brown because he was asked yesterday and I thought it was interesting, guys, because to me, when the question was asked, it's an easy no. Did you consider trading A.J. Brown? Let's hear Howie Roseman yesterday, press conference after the trade deadline has passed, talking about if he considered at all trading A.J. Brown.
Hey, Howie, there's a lot of conversation on the outside about A.J. Brown. What was your stance internally when it came to Brown? Did you entertain any offers for him?
Well, would really like to keep this about the guys we acquired. But, you know, Tim, I think that when you're trying to be a great team, it's hard to trade great players. And A.J. Brown's a great player. He wears the C for a reason. He's an important part of this team, of this organization. He cares about winning. He cares about his teammates. And, you know, I think that when you're a team like ours that is looking forward to an opportunity to compete for a championship, you just don't get rid of the guys like that. And so feel very lucky to have him on our team. And excited about the second half of the season with him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hugh, your reaction to his response, because, again, did you consider trading A.J. Brown? The answer could have been no, and we all move on. He gave a detailed response on why he wouldn't do it. What did you make of what Howie said there? I thought there was a lot of interesting parts of that.
Well, first of all, he chin-checked the dude that asked the question, because he told him, he's like, listen, and I'm paraphrasing here, we ain't come here to talk about that, but since you brought me here,
since you asked,
I'm going to go ahead and address it.
Yep.
And he said it in a way that I feel that needed to be said, because if AJ's listening to that, he has to feel comfortable in knowing or feeling that there was never a thought to trade him. Because think about it. For us, this is something where we can compare and contrast. Because think about Dombrowski, Dave Dombrowski, a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
And Bryce Harper. And he said, hey, I don't think he that cat he used to be. Like, I'm ad-libbing again.
And he caused the whole uproar.
Sure
did.
So I feel like how he answered that in a way strategically, that you had to answer it knowing that, hey, this is a great player. He is a great player. He wasn't – anything that he said, he wasn't lying about. I'm pretty sure he got some phone calls about him. I'm pretty sure he did. And I'm pretty sure there was a few times where he listened to what was being said. Probably didn't entertain it, but you got to listen.
He also did say, and I'm glad he said this, Jason, he has a C on his chest. He kind of reminded everyone this is a team captain, right? Like a team captain that whatever's gone on, he doesn't seem happy the entire season. He is a team captain. Jason, what's your feeling on what has gone on here the last 2 months with A.J. Brown? I know you can't get in his head.
You know what, Joe?
But you played the position.
I got a better question. We ain't sugarcoating this.
Go ahead.
What's wrong with y'all, man? Like, seriously.
Yeah, you know what?
At the receiver
we
spot,
need a real receiver.
No, we need a
here.
Real receiver. Yeah. Like, listen, dog.
We got defensive ends, linebackers, and fullbacks trying to come in on wide receivers around here.
Because I know you know what it is. You probably weren't like that, but you got it in you. Because I've seen you play.
Yeah.
You have it in you.
Yeah.
What is it about that position that makes you guys so different than everybody else on the football field?
Money, 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 money. Money. All right, so that's the truth. Here it is. So when Jalen Hurts goes out and wins, his value is based on that. It's not on stats, right? So when the team does well, Jalen Hurts gets paid his $220-something million. If A.J. Brown does not have stats along with winning, he gets cut and or restructured. Mm-hmm. And or moved out. So there's this fine balance as a receiver that you want to win, but you also need production in order to continue your legacy, also to make your money. So, but Jalen's stats are not included in his deal. So it's a lot easier for a defensive end, a position that can control his own destiny, an offensive tackle who can control his own destiny, and then a receiver who's a secondary position who needs other groups in order to be successful. Mm. You guys talk like you are like the angels, but the truth is if you were a tight end position, you would feel a little bit different. If you were a linebacker and you were contingent upon Saragusa of holding up two guys and you're Ray Lewis, when those guys weren't doing well, they went out and got Haloti Ngata, right? Yeah. That's what happened. So when you're in a secondary position, you need multiple positions to get better. Now, with that being said, there's always a balance to this. Mm-hmm. When you're winning, it's never the time to let everyone know of your unhappiness.
Frustrations.
It's never the time in a team sport. But you can go to the offensive coordinator and say, hey, listen, I want to be more involved. But here's the thing. When A.J. Brown touches the ball a bunch, we do well. So sure. He's not wrong when he's saying that. Mm-hmm. It's the way that he's going about it. You can't go and have four catches, two touchdowns, 121 yards, and then talk about, you know, you're using me when they want to use me type
two
of stuff.
Tutties, two
you can't do
days.
That. You can't do that because what you're saying to me, we win, you're mad, you ball, you're mad. I can't please you at that point.
Yes.
So Howie has to go in the locker room and have these conversations with him that, dude, when can we make you happy? You ball this week, you weren't happy. You didn't ball last week. We've still won. You weren't happy. What can I do to make you happy? Because now it's more than just football. It must be something that's going on with relationships. And so that's what I think was going on with AJ.
Yeah, and my concern with him is he's never going to be happier. And Jason, for me, it's a math problem. I almost consider it like a basketball team with a lot of star players, right? There's only one basketball. And the Eagles have Saquon Barkley, who's going to get 16, 20, or plus touches every week. They have Devontae Smith, who is not quite the same personality, but he wants the ball, and he's open all the time, and he's a good player. They have Dallas Goedert, who has 7 touchdowns this year. He's a top tight end. And they have a quarterback that at times will run, maybe not as much this year, but he will run, right? So there's only so many snaps. There's only so many times they have the football. There's only so many plays. It feels like he doesn't get it, or maybe he doesn't want to. Like, this is if he wants numbers more than he wants winning or on the same level, Jason, my concern is it's never going to happen here to the level that maybe he wants. Like, how is he ever going to be happier? I don't think there's ever going to be a year here, unless they have massive injuries, where he puts up the numbers Jaxon Smith-Njigba's putting up or Puka Nacua puts up, right? Yeah. There's just not enough targets here.
But he's never had the most number. He's productive with less numbers.
Like
he's
the Minnesota
been a top,
game. Yeah.
He's been a top five receiver in his league the last 4 or 5 years with less targets and less receptions.
But he seems more upset now.
Well, you start, like I said, there has to be some relationship aspect to it. But I do understand a person that says, you know what? Like, I wasn't, me personally, I wasn't a guy that would go outside of the team. I was taught that way by my family, by my coaches. But I do admire someone that says, you know what, I'm going to put my neck on the line and tell you when I'm frustrated. I'm going to tell you when I'm disgruntled. Like, I respect that about anybody. If you have everything going for you and you're still not, you know, happy in those moments and you have the balls to say something about it, I respect that. Because it's a hard thing to do.
But is he saying something? Or, like, what do you make of how the drama that's been going on those couple weeks? Because it doesn't feel like, hey, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown sat down, they talked, and they're trying to work through it. It feels like Instagram posts, and then he's asked about it. And I don't know if you heard this a couple weeks ago. Jalen Hurts said at the podium, he was asked, did you see A.J.'s latest Instagram post? And he said, I didn't see it, but they prepped me for it. With, like, I translated that as someone in the PR department's got to comb AJ's Instagram, knowing Jalen's going to be asked, and they got to present Jalen Hurts with the information so he's not caught off guard. Like, this isn't really talking, right? Well, what is this?
That's actually what every PR personnel is supposed to do.
But they're not having a conversation. It feels more like AJ's telling us how he feels, and then Jalen's being asked about it.
I don't know if you ever had a girlfriend in these modern times. I finally got a girlfriend now, but in these in these modern times,
so things are different. These days?
Wait,
you don't have one
because I did in salsa.
So we gotta get Hugh doing salsa. That's the key.
So with that being said, in a relationship, when something isn't going right in these modern times, the first thing they do is go in and send cryptic messages.
Is that right?
That's the first thing in this time. It just goes like, yeah, if he don't treat you right, somebody else will. You're like, oh man, that argument was pretty bad. And you go and you kind of figure it out. And I think that's the same thing that happens with Jalen and AJ's relationship. Brandon Graham last year kind of alluded to that with their relationship. And I don't know if that relationship is really, kind of mended at all. And that's why I think most of this is stemming from.
She got some friends?
I got you.
Hook your boy up, man.
I got you. Is that why we wanted to get Jason on? You need some help here? All right, so now what?
I need an alley-oop.
I got you right here. I'm Steve Nash.
I need an alley-oop.
Jason Kidd.
So now what? Now what, as we try to find Hugh a girlfriend? Do you think this is water under the bridge and it's going to another Super Bowl?
No.
I don't either. I think this is going to keep happening.
No, this team loves drama.
Well, that's true.
They know how to deal with it way more than we do as the fans.
Soap operatic.
Exactly. They're better at it than we are.
This is the Philadelphia Real Housewives. This is what it is. The Eagles, you know, have like versions of them that's reality television. And people draw into it, and we talk about it on the radio. They can deal with it better than most teams can.
Do you think as we go down the stretch, they have to make it a point of emphasis to make him happy or just deal with his ups and downs? Because I'm of the belief, and I just watch it as a fan. I want Jalen to throw to the open guy. If that's Devontae 12 times and it's AJ 4, I'm good with it. But I'm not sure that AJ's good with it. Do you think they have to make it a point of emphasis to get him the football, or is that overrated?
You always make it a point of emphasis. Everyone has. So here's what this is how you do it, right? So you have a percentage of plays where guys are the number one reads.
Right.
And so you always want A.J. Brown in those first two reads, right? So if it's A.J. Brown, he's number one read on 10 plays. Devontae's number one read on 10 plays. Dallas is number one read on 10 plays. It's all about who's the second and third read. You just don't want A.J. Brown running a love for the game type of a route, right? So because that was me in my career. I have zero chance of getting this ball. It's just for the love of the game. That's what you're doing. So, and that's where you get frustrated when you're a guy like A.J. Brown, is that they have you on plays, which I literally see. He's on a love for the game. He's never getting the ball. 0% chance of getting the ball. And so in those moments you get kind of frustrated because you're looking at it like, dude, I should be more of a priority.
Do you think that's where the using me but not using me comes from?
That puts it in perspective when you say it like that, don't it?
love for the game.
Because there's plays where there's just love for the game.
That sounds like my high school career. It's playing for the love of the game.
What's that juvenile song? I ain't doing this stuff for nothing. Yeah,
exactly. Two of A.J. Brown's big catches in that Vikings games were audibles from Jalen.
Yeah.
Right, they were audibles from Jalen. So when you really consider it, it's like, dude, I really only caught two passes. Two of them were audible into, and now I'm out here just running for exercise. And A.J. Brown's, dude, I didn't sign up to be a marathon runner.
This is why I like talking to Jason. We were talking about this in the break, Joe, because he has, like, we all have unique perspectives of the game. And I feel like his perspective is something that we haven't had in a while. It's refreshing, and I always like to hear him talk, even when he was doing the post-game shows. I love hearing you talk, man, because you have a unique perspective when it comes to watching football. I appreciate you.
No, all good. We're learning together.
That's what we're trying to do. So
I'm not doing this for nothing.
Yeah, he needs some. I didn't come out for exercise, man. I want to be a part of the game plan.
Was it the first game of the season where Bleacher Report had a thing and said
cardio
game for Devontae Smith and AJ Brown? I was like, oh my gosh. That's so disrespectful.
But true.
Here's the thing, though. And this is something that AJ has to realize right now. Because AJ, and this is, he's a great player. He needs more trust than Devontae does. What do I mean by that? AJ needs more trust from the quarterback because he's not going to get max separation. Mm. AJ is he's a big body, and you're going to be able to move people out of your spot, but it's going to be a lot more tight window throws. Devontae ran the same routes as AJ Brown with 5 or 6 yards worth of separation. And when you're looking back at that, I remember we had a guy named Braylon Edwards. You guys remember
Michigan,
Braylon,
yeah.
Michigan, right?
Yeah.
We had Braylon Edwards. It was me, Steve Breston, Mario Manningham.
Yeah, that's a good receiving corps.
And Braylon decided just to, you know what, I'm not going to practice in spring ball, you know, for this week. Man, we made play after play. That boy was back out there in 2 days. He was like, y'all playing way too good. And that's what happens when you have this situation. You are disgruntled. You let Devontae run some routes that he normally doesn't run that you run, and he looks better than you running those routes that you run.
Yeah.
He'll be fine soon. A.J. Brown be fine soon, because Devontae was running this skinny post route this past game, open by a mile.
Yeah, he was.
And A.J. runs that route all the time, open by a little. So you better look at that film and find
it. About that trust, because you got to – like, but I will say this, Jason. I've seen plays, and you know receiver better than I do, where you could throw in that tight window –
yeah.
And A.J. going to get it.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What I'm saying is for a quarterback, A quarterback is always, he wants to throw the optimal pass.
Okay.
To the easiest one.
Least resistance.
The most palatable receiver, the one that gives the most indications with his body language, the one gets the max separation, he wants to throw that rather than throwing one that's contested. Why would I do that when there's a guy that's open by 3 yards?
See, that's what I'm talking about. This is what it, because you don't think about the game like that.
Who is the number one receiver on this team right now?
A.J. Brown will still be the number one receiver. Will Devontae Smith? First of all, this is what I don't like about Devontae Smith, not him as a person. But Devontae has every right to be selfish because Devontae is a number one receiver. He has every right to be selfish. And just because Devontae doesn't come out and show him being disgruntled, it's one of those situations where he doesn't get enough appreciation by the city.
I agree.
By the NFL. And how long as a player where you want to control your destiny, you want max money, you have Hall of Fame talent, how long will you subject yourself to this situation? And those are the things we have to ask.
And the Eagles probably ask themselves how long it will all work together. I mean, yeah. And they're trying to win a second Super Bowl in the midst of doing all this back-to-back. All right. Before, he was saying we love having you. We're excited to have you on every Wednesday. And you bring an area expertise that we need here as a former wide receiver. You also bring one because you're from the Midwest. You're a Chicago guy. I need your take on what happened yesterday. So I know Hugh in the break was trying to butter him up and kind of, you know.
I was not buttering anybody.
He twisted the story. So we're doing the meeting yesterday before the show, right? We're getting into it. And somehow the weather came up for Monday night in Green Bay. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be like 25 degrees. And man, he's like, man, that's cold. It's the Midwest. He's like, it's the Midwest here. It's not 25 yet. And we're like, what'd you say? And so
stop the whole meeting.
The disrespect.
We stopped. Like, did you say Philadelphia's in the Midwest? And then he started this whole thing about how it feels like a Midwest city. And we're like, no, it doesn't. The ocean's 40 miles away. Jason, come on, help me out here. Philadelphia is not a Midwest city.
Well, no, Philadelphia isn't a Midwest city, but I do understand Hugh's perspective. If you're coming from New York,
right,
and someone who like Hugh who's played in New York, Philadelphia is it doesn't have the same energy as New York.
New York's its own world,
right? Yeah, yeah. But I will say that Philadelphia and Chicago is very, very similar.
Yeah, they said that yesterday.
I will say Philadelphia and Chicago is very, very similar because Chicago is that one city in the Midwest that's bustling and it has a little bit more energy, but not as much energy as New York. So if you're talking about those two cities, I understand. But anywhere else in the Midwest, he's smoking crack.
Before he explains, we threw out the topic yesterday. We had a prize to give away, which we have another prize to give away in a few minutes here. But we had a prize to give away, and you had a guess, a city in the United States, and he said it was a Midwest city. We had 50, 60, 70 callers yesterday. Not one person guessed Philadelphia. It's not a Midwest city here.
You know what the
It isn't. Now, if that's your argument, that I'm standing on the table that this is.
No, listen, let me tell you.
You saying it's akin to one city in the
Midwest? I said it has a Midwest feel to me. But can I tell you what happened yesterday? No. I've been on this radio station for like 3 years, right? And I've had people that disagree with my takes, right?
Every day.
But I had people slide in my DMs and told me to leave.
And just get out.
Just leave.
Just get out.
They was like, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to leave. And I'm like, no, I ain't leaving unless y'all help me pack.
First of all, Philadelphia is way too mean to be like the Midwest.
That's what I said. Philadelphia is like Boston. Like we're angry and
I refuse to let anybody compare Philadelphia to Boston. Well, Boston's different.
Well, okay, but I mean it from the perspective of
Boston's
northeast.
Boston is can't see here different.
Seats taken. Boston is seats
what
taken.
What I meant was northeast city, right?
You
angry.
Went there. You went there.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant like an old.
Seas
old
tight.
School city, right? Like infrastructure's old, the buildings are old. It's not a Midwest city. Not a Midwest city.
I refute. Philly is not like Boston.
All right, but it's like it's all right.
No,
fine.
But I get you. I
DC,
get you.
The Philadelphia,
infrastructure.
East Coast infrastructure, old.
Seas tight.
Y'all got me hot.
You're right. We are too mean to be a Midwest city.
See, yeah. I don't
think about the person that tried to pack your bags and send you out of Philadelphia.
No,
so that wouldn't happen in the Midwest.
But see, okay. Yeah. I don't think Philadelphia's mean like that. Now, I've been cussed out by people in the city, but we're still
Well, that's why we tell you not to look at the comment section on YouTube. We don't want you to see
listen, when I clap back at the people in the comments, that's playing the dozens, though. To me, that's playing the dozens.
Because
you're not really mad at me about my take. You're talking trash, and I'm talking trash back.
Right, right.
But I still get – but I'm the one that get in trouble for it.
You're the professional.
I'm supposed to be a grown-up. Ain't no grown-ups here.
I was at my kids. I was at my kids' swim practice last night. One of the dads was like, "What is Hugh talking about? It's not. It's not a Midwest city. No, not a Midwest city."
So he's taking.
If it's like Chicago, I understand. I understand.
Right. I get you, Jason. Man, this was a lot of fun. We're excited to have you on every Wednesday with us.
Free in my head.
We're going to have a lot of fun with this. The Lunch Hour with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio. Part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, this was awesome. Excited to do it again next Wednesday.
Can't wait, guys.
Can't wait to see it. Especially after we got that Monday night game. Can't wait.
Yeah, it is going to be. It is going to be a lot of fun. All right, Ike and Spiker to join us coming up on the other side. What should the Eagles' offensive identity be the rest of the season? We will get into that with them. We also have. Hugh, you know what we got to do right now? We got to give away a giveaway. We have
doing Hughes clothes?
Well, not today.
Traumatized.
We heard from everyone. Guys, we need a full day break from Hughes clothes.
Traumatized.
Everyone was traumatized. We do, though, have the Hess truck. It's back and better than ever. Caller number four right now to the contest line, 215-988-1258. Caller number four, 215-988-1258, will win the Hess 2025 stock car racers loaded with action-packed features, including 67 anime lights, 5 realistic sounds, and a pullback motor, available exclusively at HessToyTruck.com for $49.99 with free standard shipping and batteries included. 215-988-1258. Caller number four right now wins the 2025 Hess truck. All right, we're live today from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for until 8 tonight for the Birds at the Bye, supporting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Stop out and join us. Support this great organization. Ike and Spike join us next. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.